You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of January 16th, 2018, and episode number 346. And yes, of course, this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. Tonight we have a strange night. It's a weird news week, but it's my job to bring it to you. And we're going to be talking some, a lot of UFO stories and some really out there stuff. Kind of wrap it up, we'll talk a little bumper here called let's see, we have aliens, are they responsible for FRBs? And we'll also talk about first UFO proof of 2018. It's here, they've arrived. It only took one day. UFO over Oregon and Noah's Ark. Yeah, we don't really dip into the religion pool too often here on this show, but tonight we're going to talk Noah's Ark and his unlimited family plan. That's an odd story. A woman marries a pirate. Probably my favorite story so far this year. I know it's only the third show of the year, but so far this is my number one story. I love it. And the truth, you might have read about that story, but the truth behind it. As you know me, I like to dig into the reality of these stories a little deeper than the headline and what you're going to read. It's stranger than fiction. It is. And we'll also talk about a time machine revealed from a deep freeze. Yes, we don't normally talk about time travel here, but the greatest time machine ever known has just been revealed. We'll talk a lot about that, not just tonight, but on and on for the next gosh knows how long. We'll also have the book of the week, and enough teasing. I love teasing you guys. These teasers, these little things that get you all excited about the news tonight. Tonight's news is brought to you by Thomas Francis University. Thomas Francis University is a metaphysics school that offers online spiritually based bachelor's, master's, and PhD doctoral metaphysical degrees, as well as single standalone courses in related metaphysical and esoteric topics. Instructors are easily accessible and offer world-class customer service and instruction. TFU and other ICMH schools have hundreds of students and graduates in more than 50 countries worldwide. For more information on Thomas Francis University, please visit tfuniversity.org. Please. Thank you. Appreciate that. Just trying to be nice. Great school, by the way. And speaking of school, the School of Radio. Last night, in case you missed it, Colin Schneider, who pretty much he's the kickoff guy. He kicks off the week here on WCJV, Digital Broadcasting. Kicked it off pretty well last night with a two-hour show. I don't know how he stayed up. Must have had some Mountain Dew, some candy bars. I don't know. Crypto Kid radio show last night. If you missed it, you better check it out. Nick Redford and Benjamin Radford participated in a roundtable. That's, to me, that was a really good show. It was a dream. I love the roundtable discussions. They're always a lot of fun. And especially when you have two guys who are seemingly at odds, which they're really not. They're actually good friends. Nick and Ben, obviously Nick Redfern is, I guess you could call him somewhat of a pretty much a true believer. If you read his books and his articles, a lot of out there stories and stuff that he's collected and researched throughout the years. And Ben Radford is the skeptic. He's probably my favorite skeptic. Love the guy. He's a great guy, very down to earth. And yes, he's a skeptic, but he's a kind skeptic and gentle skeptic towards those of us who, well, not all of us, some of us out there, but if you do your stuff right, he's a good friend. If you do your stuff wrong, you better watch out because he's going to point it out to you. But nonetheless, great show last night for the Crypto Kid. And thought of Colin also in a different way, and it's creepy, but got an email today from Aaron Clark. Now, Aaron Clark is the co-director of what's called the Cleveland Ufology Project in Cleveland, Ohio. And he thought that the Twinsburg Paranormal Conference, which in case you haven't heard, takes place next month. And I'm the host of this event, and Aaron Clark is a speaker at this event. Well, he thought the event was taking place this weekend instead of in February. Kind of caught me off guard. I was like, uh-oh, gosh, I hope it's not taking place this Saturday. No, it's Saturday, February 17th. But anyway, I was thinking of Aaron and what he's going to be talking about. We were talking back and forth through email. And I remembered years ago at an event, I actually had invited him to speak at an event that I was participating in and was trying to help the guy out who was running the venue. And this was back 2009, so about 9 years ago. Well, it was around Halloween of 2009, so almost 9 years. And that event actually took place in a location where about, I guess it would be 7 years later, I would go and speak in front of Colin Schneider for the first time. Weird, wacky, small world. Crazy stuff. Anyway, yeah, that was weird. Aaron Clark, hopefully I'll be hanging out with him this weekend. This weekend is their monthly meeting for the Cleveland Ufology Project. And the Cleveland Ufology Project, if you've never heard of it, I'm sure you've heard of MUFON and NICAP and New Fork and all those other cool acronyms. But CUP, Cleveland Ufology Project, is actually was founded back in 1952, one of the oldest UFO research organizations in the world. Yeah, and there's a lot of very knowledgeable people, a lot of people with experiences with UFOs and abductions and other aspects of UFOs all gathered in one room. So it's a really nice place to be able to have a discussion. A lot of people come there who have had sightings or things that have happened to them that they're afraid to talk about. So it's a really nice open forum for people to talk about things. And Tom Wertman, who is the Ohio director for MUFON, is also there. He's also a co-director, and he's in-house pretty much every month as well and talks about a lot of the events and things that are going on in the UFO arena, especially in Ohio. And so together they make a really good team, and that whole entire meeting is always a lot of fun. It's let's see, it's about 7:30 p.m. usually, and they meet at the Cleveland Community College Western Campus, which is in Parma, Ohio. And if you're interested in that, you could just show up. Yeah, just come on down. It's room 225. It's on the second level. You'll see there's usually nobody there, so you see a whole horde of cars, and you can you'll find us. We're a pretty rowdy bunch that we're when, well, at least when I'm there. And join the fun. Now, if you're going to come in, yeah, there is a small price of admission. If you're not a member, it's $5 for non-members and $7 for non-members when there is a guest speaker, which I don't think there's one this weekend. And yeah, they're having their meeting this Saturday. It's the third Saturday of every month. If you're interested, if you're in the Cleveland area, it's kind of on the outskirts there, and can't miss Cleveland Community College. I've actually got to speak there a number of years ago on cryptozoology. It was a lot of fun. Probably one of my favorite events to speak at. It was down in the pit. You know, I felt like a professor. No, I'm not a professor, just a doctor. But if you're interested in the Cleveland Ufology Project, yeah, their website is not kind of up to date. And maybe I'll pay for a couple people if you guys want to come in. I don't know. ClevelandUFO.com. If you want to find more information about Cleveland Ufology Project, again, one of the oldest UFO organizations in the world. And, you know, figure kind of do a little bit of a speaker spotlight between here and when the Twinsburg Paranormal Convention comes online. It's February 17th, again, 2018, obviously. 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. in Twinsburg, Ohio, which is pretty much smack dab between Akron and Cleveland. You can't miss it. We have a Twins Day every year in the fall. Really creepy. Really creepy. Really creepy. People that look exactly the same, dress exactly the same. Not always just twins. Sometimes there's triplets, quintuplets, and all those other tuplets, which I don't really know off the top of my head. This is going to be a great time. I mean, my gosh, if you're anywhere near this area, you want to get there. Aaron Clark is one of two guests speaking on UFOs. We'll also have very good friend and the only guest of the Paranormal News Insider. That's right. Audrey Hamilton will also be in-house presenting at this event. She's going to be talking about her research into the Presque Isle State Park UFO event that took place back in 1966. I don't think she was born back then. She looks awful young for that. But anyway, she's done a lot of great research for this. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully I have time to settle in and sit and listen. So a pair of very dynamic people here that are going to be presenting on UFOs. Looking forward to that. I've kind of done that on purpose, trying to get two different people from two different spectrums. Aaron, not saying that Aaron's not a good researcher. He's an awesome researcher. But two people from two kind of different areas who approach UFOs a little bit differently, but that's what it's for. It's to kind of present things a little bit differently. So that's my two UFO speakers. I have also two ghost speakers, which we'll talk about on another show. And actually three cryptid people. I don't know. I just like cryptozoology stuff. But obviously one of those speakers is Colin Schneider. So we're looking forward to that. And if you want more information on the Twinsburg Paranormal Conference, go to twinsburgparanormal.com. You can also find it on Facebook as well. And you'll get up-to-the-date information through the socials. Well, at least Facebook anyway. A lot to come with that. I'll be talking about, like I said, different guests as we get a little closer toward that. I think there's only five shows between now and then. And yeah, it's still fairly new, the new year. I'm sure people are still writing 2017 on their checks. Wait, do people still write checks? I don't think so. I think everything's online, right? Do they still make checks? Who am I kidding? I have a checkbook right here. Anyway, if you want to rehash 2017, especially the paranormal aspect of 2017, go to my website, paranewsinsider.com, and click on the blog link at the top. Go to the blog spot link up there, and you can read about the year that was, the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2017 in written form. A couple of photos for you guys that like a little visual aids. It's fun. So anyway, you tuned in here for the news. So I'm going to stop rambling and get to the news. First story here. Yeah, I just said the first story here, we're going to talk about fast radio bursts. And we've talked about them a lot here on the show. And you may wonder, well, it's just a astronomical thing. What does that have to do with aliens? Well, you'll find out. Fast radio bursts. Yes, they're back in the news again. Last week, we talked about Tabby's star. You should be familiar with that. It seemed to have some strange dimming going on and over time. And it's just an odd kind of percentage of dimming and brightening. And some scientists even threw out the possibility. Yes, scientists threw out the possibility that maybe, just maybe, the star was surrounded by possibly, potentially, a Dyson sphere or large energy zapping structure built around the star. Although, pretty much now, if you listen to the show last week, they pretty much believe it was just dust, small bits of dust causing the change in brightness. I know that's a big letdown. However, fast radio bursts, which were first discovered in 2007, and are extremely high amounts of energy released in a fraction of a second. And they travel from all over the universe And the high energy is caught here on Earth. We're able to detect this very quick signal, very strong signal. And these signals were actually initially thought of as glitches in computer data, just a glitch. But have since been recorded numerous times by different telescopes. And the one that we're concerned about is FRB-121102. This was the first repeating fast radio burst to be discovered. And last year, it was found to be coming from a dwarf galaxy about 3 billion light years away. 3 billion light years. So in other words, when if you were to be standing there and turning on a very large, very bright flashlight, it would take 3 billion years for that light to reach Earth. And we'd probably never meet each other. Scientists are not sure what is causing these fast radio bursts. It's still kind of in its infancy, even though, yes, 2007, they've been studying these things. But they happen so infrequently. They're not predictable. And they're so fast, so fleeting. But they speculate they could be pulsars, or essentially spinning neutron stars, or even magnetars, which are pulsars with powerful magnetic fields. This seems to be the leading candidates for the explanation. But again, they're not 100% sure. They're still kind of in the guessing stage with all this, because the data is still pouring in. And a lot of data that was even back in 2007 and even from 2 years ago is still being evaluated for information. So it could be a slow process. Now, the amount of energy released in a millisecond in these fast radio bursts have been compared to that of 500 million suns. So go outside, stare at the sun, and imagine 500 million of those. Wait, don't stare at the sun. Not a good idea. Unless you have those glasses left over from the eclipse. 500 million of our suns. That's how much power, how much energy is released in just a millisecond that we're able to detect. And again, that's on the distance involved. Now, Professor James Cords, an astronomer at Cornell University and co-author of the study of this particular FRB, says, quote, "If we had one of these on the other side of our own galaxy, it would disrupt radio here on Earth, and we'd notice, as it would saturate the signal levels on our smartphones. Whatever is happening there is scary. We would not want to be there," unquote. Yeah, I can imagine if it was a lot closer, that much energy, it would definitely interfere with our technology. Granted, we'd probably have a way of figuring out how to ignore that. However, other scientists feel that these projections could be wrong, or that something is causing these signals to magnify in our perspective. Now, the latest findings on FRB-121102 come from last August, where the Breakthrough Listen Project, which was using the Green Bank Telescope in West Virginia, and a Dutch team that was using the William E. Gordon Telescope at the Arecibo Observatory in Puerto Rico, yes, home to the Chupacabra, to capture 16 new bursts in a 10-hour period. Pretty good. Now, Duncan Lorimer, an astronomer based at West Virginia University, who co-discovered the first FRBs, says that the neutron star theory is a good one, but other theories could not be ruled out. The big question is, why are none of these other signals repeating? And are those different types of phenomena other than this one that's repeating? Now, Professor Avi Loeb, who is an astrophysicist at Harvard University, states, quote, "Perhaps some of the FRBs are associated with artificial radio beams produced by an alien civilization. Given that we do not understand the origin of FRBs, we should keep an open mind and examine future data without a prejudice," unquote. Drop the mic on that one. So now another scientist has given out the possibility that some kind of phenomena that we don't yet understand happening in space could be caused by an alien civilization. That's just mind-boggling. I mean, UFOs and alien life is something that the media, let alone the scientists of the world, would openly mock. And now all of a sudden, they're referencing this as a possibility of an explanation of some sort of phenomena that's happening that we're observing, yet we don't understand. This is, to me, it's mind-boggling to just be in this time frame. It's you know, usually you hear the X-Files music and everybody laughs and giggles. This is getting interesting. It's great to see these barriers starting to fall. I mean, it's really going in a different direction. But the answer is more than likely something happening in space that we just don't understand at the time, and probably more than likely isn't due to our galactic cousins. But we can hope. And it's interesting, again, that scientists are putting that out there. And it's not just some crackpot in his mom's basement that's saying this. Now, the fast radio burst mystery is interesting, as it seems right now that the more data collected brings about more potential explanations, but a much longer list of things that we don't yet understand. More questions. Every time they get more data, there's more questions popping up. I have a bunch of links through the store, a couple of links, that one of which I'm going to throw there in the chat room. Hopefully it doesn't land on anyone's head. I've had that happen before. Somebody got hurt in the chat room because I threw a link. But anyway, if you're listening live and you're in the chat room, you don't have to chat. You can just hang out there. We won't, you know, we might call your name a couple times, but you can listen in. We won't hurt you. We won't get the pitchforks out. Well, I can't really promise you that one. I guess we'll try not to get the pitchforks out and try to lure you out of the darkness. But you're more than welcome to listen live in the chat room. Or there's other ways to listen live. We have apps for that. You can find an app that for WCJV that you can listen in. You can listen in as a podcast if you want. But if you're listening in live and you're in the chat room, you're going to get these links pretty much immediately, as long as I remember to throw them in there. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait for me to put that out through Facebook and Twitter, the socials, and you can catch up that way. And yeah, you can find some of these stories floating around Facebook, floating around some of these paranormal news websites, but I do my research and I dig up some stuff, and some of the stuff that I dig up, I will give you links for, so you're in the know. And I'm not just making stuff up. Everything I do and say is based on research. Yeah, a lot of it is my personal opinion, but my personal opinion is based on a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge, and being around these fields and doing this show, let alone doing this show, my gosh, for almost 10 years. It'll be 10 years this fall. My goodness. So yeah, I kind of, sort of, not to toot my own horn, kind of know what I'm talking about a little bit with these stories. And I want you to understand the reality. And sometimes these stories don't kind of go the way we want them to, including this next one. Yeah, we want the truth. The truth is out there. Sometimes the truth, it's just out there. Yes, the first big UFO sighting of 2018, it's happened. It's done. Check it off the list. It's here. Wasn't really what I was hoping for. It was almost what I was expecting, unfortunately. And it all started on Facebook. Yeah, don't a lot of things start on Facebook? It was posted to Facebook on January 1st, thus ushering in the first major UFO sighting of 2018. And the scene of this sighting, of this video, took place purportedly in Mexicali, Mexico. And once uploaded, it didn't take very long to become a viral story. Now, UFO of Interest, which is a kind of a debunking website, does a great job with this stuff. He quickly chimed in and pointed out that this UFO in this video, and it's makes you a little dizzy. It's a bunch of people riding in a car, filming video out of a window, and you could see this thing floating in the sky. Their radio turned up in the background. Laughing and giggling as they're viewing this thing floating through the sky. It's got a little disorienting to yet really have to focus on this thing. Now, UFO of Interest quickly chimed in and pointed out that this looked very similar to the Star Wars Stormtrooper balloon incident that I talked about. It occurred last year in the skies of the United Kingdom, back in June of last year. Although a lot of people think this video is just a crowd monitoring drone, which I guess is something that they actually have and use quite a bit down there in Mexico. That's creepy. I don't think we'd ever stand for that here in the United States, but give it time. We'll probably see them flying around not too distant future. And some people are just shouting generically hoax. But I think it's just misidentification. I think he's on the right track as far as the balloon. It does look awfully a lot like the Stormtrooper balloon. And I have a link for that, too. But first, let me throw that first link in the chat room. You can check that one out. And why not? You know what? I'm going to share the other one here. It's, Kent, United Kingdom. So that happened back in June. You can look that up. But I'll throw that link there in the chat room. You better duck it. Here it comes. There it is. From the Daily Mail. Actually printed something that explained the UFO. Interesting stuff. Now, in a related story, very related story, the Express news website in the United Kingdom helped unravel another UFO mystery that's been going on the last few days. A man named Richard Emblin, who is the editor-in-chief of the City Paper based in Columbia. That's the name of the paper, the City Paper. Wow, how original. Anyway, he revealed photographs he took of a UFO that seemed to be a shape-shifting UFO in the sky. Took a handful of photos and put them in his newspaper. Now, Emblin is a photojournalist and pilot, and he knows what he was looking at was not any type of airplane. He couldn't explain it, so he doesn't think that you can either. So therefore, it's unexplained. It's a flying object, so it's a UFO. Now, the YouTube channel, kind of vowed I would never talk about this YouTube channel in particular, but I guess I will. Secure Team 10 quickly scooped out the story and tried to add to the mystery and awe of the entire story. But what it really did is it helped bring the story out into the light, and the Express quickly worked on the photographs and determined in their thought that this was more than likely a party balloon in the shape of an 8, which are readily available online. If you do see the photographs of this, which again, I'll put the links in the chat room, and don't worry, during the week, these will also be put out through social media. It does look like a figure 8, and it's sad because the balloon had to be pretty expensive. These things aren't cheap. But yeah, I think there are a lot of misidentification cases that unfortunately doesn't really matter. This one probably won't be solved unless somebody steps forward. Just like the Kent Stormtrooper event that took place back in 2017, the mother stepped forward and says, hey, that's our balloon. They even had photographs of the balloon and showed it outside. And you could pretty much tell with the shape that definitely was that Stormtrooper balloon. But we'll probably never know about this one. Shape and the number 8. And it's weird that we'd have two stories that have probably the same solution both together. There's another one. Look out. Lots of links tonight. Lots of links. Lots of information coming your way. As always, here, do a lot of research during the week and love to bring it to you guys. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it to unravel the mysteries of these stories week to week. And, you know, I honestly do. I feel like Debbie Downer sometimes, and I feel like I'm just showing you something just to pull the rug out from underneath you. Oh, here's a great story, but it's fake. Here's a great story, but it was a hoax. But, I mean, we have to do this. We have to talk about these. We have to get that information out there. It's one thing that you hear or see these stories online, Facebook or YouTube, or you talk about it at school or at work. But the reality is important as well. It's fun to get caught up in what might be or what could be or what you think happened. But I think it's very important we kind of rationalize these stories and we look a little deeper into them and find the true meaning. But then fine, push it aside and let's go to the next thing. You're tuned in to WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVRadio.com. And you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And it's cold in here. It's cold. It's single digits outside where I'm at. I don't know about you. If you're listening in California, somewhere warm, kind of crawl into your basement. It's cold here. Anyway, another UFO story. It's so weird. I feel weird, like no cryptid stories the first 3 weeks of this year. What's going on? Now a rash of UFO sightings. I don't know what's going on. Now this one comes from the West Coast, not California, but Oregon. And this has become a viral video as well. And what appears to be two UFOs moving in the backdrop during a live news broadcast back on the evening of January 3rd of this year, it's created a little bit of mystery. And I don't know exactly how they noticed this, if it was people watching the broadcast live were calling in or getting on social media and saying, hey, you guys might want to rewind that and look. But the story is being spread by UFO websites and on YouTube channels that are, you know, I just got to say it. They're trying to profit from this story. They have, you know, advertisements and different things popping up and they advertise their own stuff. So, yeah, they're trying to make money off this story. But it's what's weird is it originated on this particular channels, their own website and their own social media, and it's KOIN, I guess that's coin. You know, most Western radio stations and television stations, they start with K's. So KOIN, which is a channel, Channel 6, it's a CBS affiliate out of Portland, Oregon. Apparently, after the broadcast, somebody noticed this somehow, some way. I don't know how. And the video appeared on their YouTube channel. And there was a link on their actual website that clicked you to their Facebook site so you could talk about what you think you saw. And if it's kind of, I don't know, kind of cruddy. A lot of people were giving the what I thought was a solution. When I first saw it, I was like, you got to be kidding me. That's simple. People actually think that's a UFO. Then, of course, you had some people that were chiming in. Oh, that's definitely a UFO. It's got to be real. What you're saying is impossible, of course. And then, of course, you had people blaming Trump for that. I don't know why. Anything with news, people just want to throw their political opinions out there. It's sad fact. It's just that's just the way it is. Now, if you watch this video, which I'll throw it. Well, you know what? I'll throw the YouTube thing and you guys can watch it in the chat room real quick before I kind of tell you what it is. Hopefully that works. That's going to work there. Yep. So you can watch this little video. I screwed something up. Oops. Well, it's not working. It's my luck. Let's see. Here is another link. Maybe this will work. Error. I know. Full of errors. That one might work if you click the link. Not playing. I know. I screwed something up. I don't know what I did. Video's out there. You can find it. KOIN UFO video. It'll pop up. You'll see it. And not still there. That's why it's working. But it's an interesting video where you're watching the newscast. There's four people. They're just sitting there jibber-jabbering. Right in the middle. Oh, it's 41 degrees there at the time. Well, it's pretty warm. They're just jibber-jabbering, And in the backdrop, you see a bridge. And there's cars. And you can see lights of the city behind them. I guess that would be Portland, part of Portland there. And all of a sudden, in the top right-hand corner of this large video display, you'll see a little flash of light and a couple of UFOs. Ooh, what is that? yeah, happens to be UFOs. Oh, it's not working. Oh, well. And people wonder, well, oh my gosh, what could that be? Is that really UFOs? Well, yeah, I mean, it is UFO. It's something unidentified. You can't figure it out right away. But if you really pay attention, I only had to watch it the second time I really figured it out. And I just kind of watched it slow motion, which is one thing I love about YouTube, is that you can watch videos slowed down a lot. And then you can really pick up details and kind of figure out things such as angles and light reflections and things like that. So really and truly, when you watch it, you'll figure it out. It's a very simple explanation of a lens flare. Because when you're watching this, there's a car that kind of angles itself on the bridge, and the headlights seemingly hit the camera almost head on. And you see the camera actually dim. The lights are very bright. You see some reflections. And the car kind of moves at an angle, and those UFOs that you see move at the same angle. It's just a reflection, folks. It's not a UFO. Don't freak out. Don't go getting drones and try to shoot things down. It's not in the sky. It's just a reflection of the camera. And you can tell that it's that because the other cars go through there. Yes, you don't see the reflection with other cars, but the other cars don't reflect directly into the camera. And my suggestion was that they set up that same camera again during another nightly broadcast. Make sure it's at the same angle and watch for that again. You could do that experiment on live TV. Now, obviously, I don't have KOIN where I'm at here in Ohio, so I'm not able to watch what they're doing, and have not heard or seen any other comments on their Facebook page nor their YouTube channel. So I don't know. I think it was just something to get a little bit of attention for themselves, I guess. And I don't think it was intentional. I think they just, listeners or viewers, I guess, saw something and they wanted to just kind of point or look at that. And surprised, though, because you would think that the video people would have picked up on that pretty quickly. But yeah, well, I don't know. It's just a simple explanation, in my opinion. As the car, again, as the car moves, so does this purported UFO. Coincidence? I don't think so. And with that, my goodness, all these UFO sightings. Let's see. Well, here's another. Well, you should have the video on this link too. Boom. Okay. Very distracted in the chat room. Dita is talking about running around naked. See the kind of things that you're missing when you're not listening live in the chat room. You're missing out on people running around naked. Well, chat room, you really can't see them. We don't have cameras on. Anyway, the slew of UFO stories has inspired me to bring about a nice book about UFOs. And this is a different kind of UFO book. And I mean that in not in a rude way, just it's different. This is not something that you would expect to see as a UFO book. It's really interesting, very different direction. And I actually got this book at a library sale, you know, when they sell books that they're not going to carry anymore. And as soon as I saw this, I was like, wait, what? A kid's book on UFOs? Nah, I got to get my hands on this thing. So scooped up this book. I don't even know how much I paid for it, if I even paid for it. I think I paid like maybe a dollar for this book, if that. And it's a very interesting kind of a take, I guess, on the UFO phenomena, a little different than what you're used to. And this book is called Graphic Mysteries, UFOs, Alien Abduction, and Close Encounters. And this book is actually geared towards not necessarily children, but it says ages 10 to 13, essentially. So younger adults or older children. I don't know if is there a name for that? I don't know, there's usually a name for everything, but I don't know. But it's a creepy looking book. You know, for a kid's book, you wouldn't expect to see alien abductions on the front cover, but it's an interesting book. It does start out like how you would think a traditional UFO book would start out, talking about watching the skies. And it does, just like almost every UFO book, including my book. You didn't know I had a book on UFOs? Goodness, where have you been? You didn't know this? Man, you're really not listening to the show very much. Handbook for the Amateur UFO Investigator. Yes, even I started out talking about the Kenneth Arnold sighting. And I don't know, I kind of rolled my eyes, but, you know, I did the same thing, more or less. But it starts talking about that and gets into flying saucer fever, gets really hot and heavy into the topics, and kind of breaks down Close Encounters. And then it goes into kind of the graphic novel aspect of this, where it's essentially like a cartoon. Or I shouldn't say cartoon, no, like a comic book, I guess. It's different frames and different events. And they cover the Roswell incident in pretty much the most popular version of the Roswell incident, with shooting the alien and different details. It's kind of a blend of things. But it's interesting because you see it in a different way. It's, you know, with the pictures, you know, the drawings, I should say, drawings of this purported Roswell incident. And then they go into the next set of frames. And it's, you know, it's a few pages. Roswell incident's like, gosh, it's like 10, 15 pages. Then they go into the abduction of Travis Walton. And they go into, well, toward the end here, they go into UFOs, fact or fiction. They go back to the just the explanation format of UFOs and different things. And they try to do, they have a section here on mistaken identity. And they try to, but they do explain the Rendlesham Forest. They say it was explained as a light from a local lighthouse streaming through the trees, which is just one of many. But then they kind of shoot themselves in the foot here a little bit with really trying to say that the Roswell thing, this is what started the conspiracy theories and this is what started everything. Well, it was kind of after the fact, to be honest. It wasn't back in 1947 when people became suspicious about UFOs. It actually happened pretty much in the 80s when the Roswell incident became famous. But, you know, that's kind of, we change history to suit our needs. But it's an interesting book nonetheless. It's a few things in here that kind of worry me about young people reading about UFOs that might influence their belief patterns or beliefs about this book. This book is, let's see, well, it was published back in 2006, so it's pretty old, but not outdated. Still very relevant information. It's kind of almost a true believer book with the way the incidents are discussed. But again, there is a little bit of skepticism toward the back of the book. It's 48 pages, chocked full of photographs, or I should say drawings, pictures. And it's kind of like a little kid's book. A little binding. It almost looks like one of those golden book type of things. It's published by Gary Jeffrey. It's got some creepy looking aliens on the front cover. You see dude getting abducted by a UFO. Looks like a wheel in the sky. Is that a Journey song? Yeah. Anyway, the other cool thing about this is when I got this, I flipped it over. And there's other titles in this particular series of books, which and when I got this, I vowed I'd get. I still haven't gotten them. There's one on Atlantis and other lost cities. There's one on the Bermuda Triangle, Strange Happenings at Sea. There's one on Bigfoot and Other Strange Beasts. I do definitely got to get that one. And there's one on Ghosts and Poltergeists, Stories of the Supernatural, as well as one on the Loch Ness Monster and Other Lake Mysteries. And yeah, that's it. There's 6 books in total. And you can go to, it's published by thriftbooks.com. There's David West Children's Books, and there's a whole list of these things. But if you look up graphic novels or graphic mysteries, I'm sorry, you can probably find a lot of these on Amazon. The one that I was talking about here with UFOs, you can get, you can get pretty cheap. You get it used for $1.99. You get it paperback for $5. So you get it pretty cheap. I got mine probably less than that. I think a dollar, if I even paid that much, probably like 50 cents or 10 cents. I'm not even throwing it. I don't know. But it pays to go to your library. I mean, not only can you get books to read, at times you can get books to buy and have and share with other people, give away or whatever you want to do with them. Just don't burn them. You can rent movies and learn a lot of things. I tell you, I mean, libraries, that's where I started. If it wasn't for libraries, we would not be sitting here talking about the paranormal. This is where I started to learn about the paranormal. So, yes, we have Google. I have to be careful what I say. My phone turns on if I say the word Google too loud and starts chirping at me. So I have to be careful of that. Yeah, the digital age that we live in is ridiculous. The how tied in we are to technology and learning, yet people seem to be more lost than ever. Anyway, the book of the week this week, UFOs, Alien Abduction, and Close Encounters, Graphic Mysteries by Gary Jeffrey. Kind of a young adult, ages 10 to 13-ish type of book. Less than 50 pages. Lots of color drawings. Interesting stuff. Yeah. And we're going to go to other news. Now, I did have a ghost story, but that's not very thrilling to talk about. It's more how your perception is kind of fooling you. But I'll put that link out during the week, and maybe we'll talk about that later, but if I have time, but probably not. We have some really, really out there stories. I don't even know. I don't know. These are just like at the end of the year when I do the top 10 paranormal news stories, I usually have most embarrassing stories or wacky stories. I didn't have too much time to talk about that this year for last year, but these two, the next two that I'm going to talk about, my goodness. So this first one here, this one's out of Turkey. We don't really get too many stories out of Turkey, but yeah, get that link copied. A man named Yavuz Ornek, who's an assistant professor at Istanbul's University Institute of Marine Sciences and Management, made some interesting comments to state-run channel TRT Television back on January 6th. So that's the important detail right there. Pay attention. There's a quiz later. State-run channel, TRT Television. Keep that in mind. he was talking about Noah. Talking about Noah and the Great Flood from the Bible. And Ornick said, quote, and I emphasize, quote, this isn't me saying this. Well, I am saying this, but it's not my words. These are quotes. There were huge 300 to 400 meter waves, and his son, meaning the prophet Noah's son, was many kilometers away. The Quran says Noah spoke with his son, but how did they manage to communicate? Was it a miracle? It could be. But we believe he communicated with his son via cell phone. Unquote. Wait, what? Yes, cell phone. This guy thinks that Noah spoke to his son miles away. Now, Noah's in a boat. I don't know if you've been on a boat out in open water and try to use your cell phone. Doesn't always work. But apparently, 2,000 years ago, it did. Because technology's going backwards. Yes. Cell phone. Not only this, that's the headline, but he also believes that Noah's Ark was built not of wood, but of steel. And it wasn't powered by the wind. It wasn't powered by people rowing underneath it. But no, that would make no sense whatsoever. How do you power a big boat like that, a big ship? How do you power that thing? Well, it's easy. Nuclear energy. That's right. And that were, you know, it's a big ship and all, but there was no living animals on it. That would make no sense. How would you capture all these things? How would you get them on board without eating each other, right? So the question I always had, well, there's an easy answer for that. The scientists figured that out. Noah managed to obtain sperm and eggs. Huh, no need. No need to capture the lions. You just, I don't know how, well, I don't want to get too far into that. The FCC might come knocking on my door, but, you know, got the sperm and eggs. So you don't need the actual live animals on the ship. Huh. And they also said that Noah used drones to find dry land. And again, quote, and I emphasize, quote, I am a scientist. I speak for science, quote. Now, Ornick said this as he described the events as being impossible for a wooden craft to maneuver, so it had to be metal. And how else could Noah and his son communicate such distances? His statements are essentially an attempt to tie together the miracles of the Bible into coherent thoughts. I mean, never mind the cell phone would have not have worked, since there was not only no electricity back then. I mean, how would you plug it in? No USB cables. Did we find that buried anywhere? No. Not only that, no cell towers. And obviously no existing technology for cell phones, drones, metal ships, or even in vitro fertilization. So how did a scientist really get this conclusion? Anyway, did he fall down, hit his head? Was he brainwashed? Is he some kind of mental issue? This is scary, folks, that, you know, a scientist is saying this to the general public. Some people may actually believe all this stuff. I'm not saying it's, well, it is. Come on. It's completely ridiculous. But again, for this, we have to look at the political climate of Turkey. It seems that the government is encouraging more religious thought and stomping on science as we know it. So essentially, they're using the scientists to kind of sway people toward the religious side of things. So they're kind of making things, kind of mocking science in a way here. It's really ridiculous. It's really out there. But the more I read about Turkey and its political climate and things that are going on, it kind of is a little understandable. One article I researched stated that last year the government introduced a new school curriculum that actually dropped the teaching of evolution at secondary schools. Yeah. Well, not exactly paranormal, but this borders on supernatural, in my opinion, as well as how the culture of the world interpret things beyond our understanding. So I have like a trio of links here. And well, I'll throw that one for starters in the chat room. More links. Look out. Yeah, I like links tonight. A lot of links, a lot of research, a lot of stories. And that story actually for paranormal purposes more or less originated on Mysterious Universe. So you can go to mysteriousuniverse.org and get a starting point there. They do put links in there that will get you to other sources of information that I did my own research on the political climate of Turkey to kind of realize why would these scientists say this? And it's pretty much their direction. It's kind of what's going on over there right now. And wow. Well, this next story, I don't even know what to say. We'll just get into this. Now, if the last story sounded a little confusing, like how could somebody come up with this? Well, you might want to sit down. You might want to jot some notes on this one. Now, when I first saw the headline, it seemed to be kind of face value. It seemed to be understandable, a little weird, a little odd. but understanding. But you know me, I like to research. I like to dig in. I like to pull information out. This story really, really had me confused. You ever see those crime scene shows where they have the board and they have different photographs of people and they have the little lines linking things together, the evidence? And I had to do that. I couldn't figure this thing out. It's really, really twisted. Now, last July, I talked about a story where a Cambodian woman married a calf. That's a little cow for you guys that don't know what a calf is. You know what a calf is. Not a cafe. A calf. A little cow. Now, this woman in Cambodia married this calf because she felt this was her reincarnated husband. I know some issues there, but okay. A little gross, but okay, I get it. Now, if you look at this stuff up, women have married trees, dogs, cats, and one woman even married a chandelier. Twisted. Now, we've also heard of women having sex with ghosts, but marrying a ghost, well, that's quite interesting. But not interesting enough. I mean, come on, big deal. Some lady's marrying a ghost. Well, how about a woman marrying the ghost of a pirate? That's a new one. Well, a woman named Amanda Teague is getting some attention in the news recently from her marriage to a pirate named Jack Teague. Now, the 45-year-old woman is also a Jack Sparrow impersonator, which you don't know what Jack Sparrow is. I don't know what to tell you. Pirates of the Caribbean character, Johnny Depp, plays Jack Sparrow, which is a fictional character. It's not a real pirate. There was never a pirate named Jack Sparrow, at least that we know of. Now, she dressed up as Jack Sparrow, 45-year-old woman, dressing up as a man, complete with a little beard and a little mustache. That's all I'm going to say about that part of it. And which is said to have brought her to meet the spirit. So her connection with becoming a pirate, or maybe dressing up as a man, I don't know which part of it, that's what she said, brought her to meet this spirit. Now, this sounds like a really nice love story and really mean for me to make fun of in this way. But when you really start to really think about some of these details, when I started digging into this story, things got a little confusing and a little concerning. Now, she claims to have met the ghostly pirate and hung around him, and eventually he proposed to her. However, when you read about this, she states that she can only communicate with him through a medium and needed one on board a small ship, which had to go out into international waters because the United Kingdom, they obviously, for some reason, I don't know why, they don't recognize being able to marry a ghost or somebody who's dead, whether they're real or not. So she's on an international waters, a little boat, has a medium that basically says, I do for him. Now, of getting engaged and ultimately married, Amanda said, quote, I told him I wasn't really cool with having casual sex with a spirit, and I wanted us to make a proper commitment to each other, unquote. Wow. She had a previous marriage, you knew that was coming, of 6 years, where she had five children. Sadly, in 2010, one of her sons passed away. Now, this is just a few years before she met this ghost. So there you go. There's another thing. There's another clue there for you. Amanda says that Jack Teague was a pirate from Haiti from the early 1700s who was caught and executed. Now, when I read that part, I got a little mad. I'm not going to lie. Haiti was not recognized back in the 1700s. The island itself was known as Hispaniola, and the western third was owned by the French during that time. It was called Saint-Domingue. I've had the good fortune of visiting Haiti a few years ago. Beautiful country. Very nice people. beautiful land, beautiful water, just gorgeous island. But Haiti did not exist as we know it in the 1700s. So I don't know where she came up with that. But anyway, if all of this wasn't weird enough, and it's easy to follow so far, but now here's where it gets a little twisted. When we take a look back beyond these latest articles, and it's weird because she got married back in 2016 in the fall. So why is this story hitting now? Why is this being passed around as news now? So I wondered. So I went back and I tried to find articles from that time frame. What is going on? Why are they talking about this now? Well, it's weird. Her name back then was Amanda Large. Amanda Large. But after watching the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, she fell in love with the character of Jack Sparrow, so much so that she began to dress and act like the character. Not the intention of actually being an impersonator. She just fell in love with the character. And she didn't really watch these movies until I think it was 2014 in January. I'm a little bit behind on my Netflix and other stuff, but I'm not that far behind. These movies have been out since 2003. Anyway, so she actually started to get gigs. Now, she's from Northern Ireland. I don't think I mentioned that. Northern Ireland, I'm sure, doesn't really have a whole lot of Jack Sparrow impersonators. If you've ever been on a cruise, you've been down to Mexico, you've been anywhere in the Caribbean, I'm sure you've seen some. I've seen at least two or three myself. Jack Sparrow impersonators, a couple of really good ones, a couple of really bad ones. I think I did see a female one. It was kind of hard to tell. I didn't want to get arrested, so I kept to myself. Anyway, so she changed her look, changed her identity, began dressing up as a pirate, a male pirate. And they used the word transition, which is, again, another important clue here. The transition continued with dreadlocks, tattoos, even gold teeth to complete the look of Jack Sparrow. But this wasn't enough. So Amanda Philomena Connolly Large, that's her name, that was her name, Amanda Philomena Connolly Large, changed her name legally to Amanda Philomena Sparrow Large in October of 2015. Wow, so she became Amanda Sparrow. Now, of her change, she went from being a typical female to dressing as a pirate full-time. She said back in 2015, quote, Jack gave me the freedom to be who I wanted to be, and it has given me great confidence. I love the way I look, and I feel really comfortable in myself. This is who I am, and has made a huge difference to how I feel about myself. I just said I'm not going to regret this. Even if I stop being an impersonator and it doesn't work out professionally, I will always love Jack Sparrow for giving me confidence and finding out who I really am, unquote. A story done on Amanda as well as other Jack Sparrow impersonators showed other photographs and discussed other information from her wedding that were not shown during this latest crop of stories. In this story, it's said that Amanda actually married the spirit of Jack Sparrow, not this Jack Teague guy. And even, here's the proof in the pudding, or I should say on the cake, the cake topper at her reception had Mr. and Mrs. Sparrow on top of it. So I don't know why the story changed or why she changed her story or when she changed her name to Teague. So when I heard the name Teague, kind of rang a bell for me because being I love pirates. I love the whole history and mystery and mystique and allure of pirates and the way pirates were back then and some of the folklore behind it and just the stories. I love pirates. I mean, most men do, I guess. I don't know why. It's just one of those things. It's kind of like cowboys. Guys like cowboys. Pirates as well. It's an interesting era. Just strange stories behind all this, the reality of it. I like that stuff. And, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, a little over the top, a little outlandish, but it's meant to be. It's cartoon humor. It's cartoon action. So it's going to be a little cartoon-ish. But it's still a very good, for the most part, a pretty decent portrayal, if you see past the Disney-ish stuff that happens there, of pirate life. Again, in between some of the ridiculous things. But if you know anything about Pirates of the Caribbean, the film franchise, you should be familiar with the name Teague. Captain Edward Teague is the fictional father of the fictional Jack Sparrow. So my thought is that Amanda is putting all these names together and just created her own spirit. Like I said, I've studied pirates. I'm not a pirate historian or an expert at pirate history or pirate names, but I can tell you there's not anyone that I've ever heard of named Teague that was a pirate. And for somebody to be captured and executed as a pirate would be a pretty big deal. As she so puts it, that Jack Teague was captured and killed in 1700s. I think that would put him on the map. And not only is he not on the map, he's not in the book. I can't find him. I don't know. I'm not a medium, so I don't know. So I think she's just kind of putting different things together. And she's going through kind of probably a midlife crisis here with not being married, probably not being able to find anybody, dressing up as a guy. I mean, it's kind of, I don't know. It's just a lot of things going on here for this lady. And, you know, she's getting the attention that she wants. But to me, the most concerning thing of all this whole entire story is when you see these photographs of them, you know, of her in the on the boat getting married and different photographs of her. Who are these people that she's with, these women? There's two mediums that are constantly appearing in the photographs with her. I'm a little concerned about that because I think these people are the ones that are kind of pushing her towards these different things. And maybe they're the ones that introduced her to this spirit and have pushed her to get married and all these other things and have filled her head full of stuff. And it probably filled their pockets full of stuff as well. I'm just thinking out loud. I'm not accusing anybody, but I think, you know, we've talked about that a lot here on the Paranormal News Insider about people kind of stealing from other people, giving them false hope, giving them dreams. And, you know, we all laugh about it like, oh my gosh, how do you fall for that kind of stuff? Well, people do when they have desires and wants and needs. Yeah, just how many pieces of eight are they charging her for her services? Who are the real pirates in that story? Yeah. Weird story. Wacky, though. It just, you know, just, I don't know. Weird. A lot of stuff in that story. A lot of baggage to, a lot of baggage to unpack. Anyway, last story here. Hang in there. Hang in there. Just give me another minute. Relax. You can go to get some dinner. You can relax. Last story. Most important story. This is a big deal. Listen up. Sit up. Relax. Put the food down. Put the fork down. Thank you. Listen up. This is very important. Very serious note here. Something has emerged from the Johnson Space Center's large cryo vacuum chamber, and it's slowly thawing out. It's not an alien. It's not a UFO. Don't worry. It's actually more important than this. It's a time machine. Yes, it exists. There is a time machine that is currently being thawed out right now as we speak, or as I speak, as you listen. Maybe you're speaking. I don't know. It shouldn't be. The James Webb Space Telescope. Get used to that. You're going to hear that a lot here in the future on this show. Well, it's finished up its testing in the cryogenic chamber, the cryo vacuum chamber, in a temperature of minus 424 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, as I look at my phone, it's 8 degrees. I'll take it. Over 424 degrees below zero. Now, for you other people, that's minus 253 degrees Celsius, or if you're a scientist, 20 Kelvins. 20 Kelvins, that's cold. Now, the room to test this telescope took a month to get to that temperature, a month. Would not want to see the electric bill. And the telescope will take another month to warm back up after these tests. Now, during all of this, the telescope actually survived Hurricane Harvey. And it's still good to go. It still has more testing to do. It's going to be heading to California toward the end of January, early February-ish. Ultimately, going to be heading to French Guiana. French Guiana, that's in South America, near Brazil. Nice place. Never been there. Sometime between March and June of 2019, it's going to be launching into space. Now, we've talked an awfully lot about space discoveries right here on the Paranormal News Insider in the last few years. And the James Webb Space Telescope will also be the largest and most powerful space telescope ever built. It's measuring 21 feet in diameter, capable of seeing deep into space and observe galaxies formed just after the Big Bang through infrared capabilities. So that's why it's a time machine. We're going to be able to see billions of years back in time. It's going to be used by thousands of astronomers across the globe, and I'm sure it's going to usher in a new heap of discoveries. And speaking of billions, I know you want to hear this. Yeah, it cost $8.8 billion. $1 billion. But who's counting? I don't know. Yeah, sorry to keep you guys up. It's late. Well, with that, yeah, keep your eyes in the skies. As always, I will see you next week. And hopefully have some not-so-wacky stories, some more interesting stories headed your way next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.